In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 14, it's a charge that Jesus brings against the church at Pergamos. Revelation 2, 14, Christ is addressing the preacher who heads up the church of Pergamos, and he makes a comment to him, and that comment still tells about what I'm preaching this morning. Chapter 2, verse 14. I have a few things against thee. That is, I have some things I find wrong with this church. Here it is. Thou hast there, that is, there is in your congregation those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block. What I'm preaching on, stumbling block. Cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. So we have no problem identifying the object, a stumbling block. What is a stumbling block? It's something that makes you stumble. That's kind of easy to figure out. It's something that trips you up. It's something that stops you from continuing down the road you're going. Kind of influences you to either give up or go some other direction. A stumbling block is a hindrance, it's a hardship, it's a pain, it's something that depresses you, discourages you. That is a stumbling block, and lots of times people become the number one stumbling block in our life. People who say things become the stumbling block in our life. It was what Balaam said that made him a stumbling block. It's what people say that make them a stumbling block. It's what we say that can make us a stumbling block to other people. I'm not sure if you know about the story of Balaam and Balak. It would be one that you would make a movie out of. I'm not sure one has ever been made, but it's that kind of story. Balaam was a prophet in Israel, therefore a Jew. Balak was the king of Moab, which of course was the enemy territory of Israel. God was marching the Israelites into the promised land, and the land of Moab lay in the pathway of their march. The king of Moab feared because he knew what God's power had done in the past, and so he was afraid his land would be occupied by Israel with the influence of Israel's God. He did not feel his army could stop that God, thus stop Israel, so he was upset. You heard about a prophet in Israel named Balaam who loved money and loved applause to be noticed. And so he sent some men down there and offered Balaam some money and also some applause, some notoriety, some attention, some approval, some esteem, if he would pray to the God of Israel to curse Israel. Now you say, that guy must have some screws loose. To think that the God of Israel can be prayed to by a prophet, and that God, because of the prophet's prayer, is going to turn on his own people. Well, not only was Balak's screw loose, so was Balaam's. Because he wouldn't ask God, could he do it? Can I pray to you to curse Israel? Because if you do, I can get a lot of money out of it. Now, do you really think God is that dumb? Balaam, do you really think he's like that? And I can get some real attention. I can become somebody important in the land of Moab if you'll curse Israel. And God said, no way will I curse Israel. Now, Moab was the land next in line to be conquered. And so Balaam said, God said, no, I won't do it. So Balaam was again contacted by some men from Balak and said, now, are you sure we're going to raise the ante? We're going to give you more money. And we'll give you more honors and more medals and more honorariums. I mean, think it over now. Would you come on down to Moab and pray down there that God curse Israel? And so we next find old Balaam packing his donkey. And he strikes out for the land of Moab. Kind of hard to believe Balaam is this dumb. God has already told him, I am not going to curse Israel. I'm not. But there goes old Balaam anyway. That money and that prestige and honor, just big appeal to him. So he goes on down to the land of Moab, riding his donkey down the road, and all of a sudden his donkey begins to do things that he's never done before. First time, the donkey was going down the road, and all of a sudden he just took off the opposite direction. Zoom, started running. And old Balaam got all upset and pulled out his whip, and he whop, 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 whop. The donkey said, get back on the road to Moab. So the donkey's back on the road to Moab. They come to a narrow lane where there's a wall on either side, and it's kind of narrow, and all of a sudden the donkey just goes sideways and runs the foot of Balaam against the wall, scrapes his foot, and he gets out his old whip, and whop, 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 whop. He's sorry, donkey, you know, and get on down the road. So the donkey goes on down the road again. This time, all of a sudden, donkey just falls down. Flop. Right on top of Balaam. He gets that whip, pop. And yeah, you know, he says, get up, you mule, and go on down the road. And then the Bible says that the donkey began to talk to Balaam. Now, if I was writing a movie script, the first thing I said at this point was, from the mouth of Balaam, who said that? There was nobody there but Balaam and the donkey. Who said that? Well, the donkey said it. Now, you know the story that finally the eyes of Balaam were opened and he was allowed to see what the donkey had been seeing all along. There was an angel there with a drawn sword, and he had come there to detain Balaam and stop him from going to Moab. And he said to Balaam, had this donkey not done what he done, I'd have killed you. And this donkey saved your life. And the donkey talks to Balaam, and I won't go into all the conversation, but I want to deal with those three words. Who said that? Who said that? That's what I want to talk about this morning. He goes on down to Moab, though, anyway, and he prays. God cursed Israel. And every time he prayed, God blessed Israel just that much more. And Balaam was frustrated because he said, how am I ever going to get my money and my honorarium and my prestige if my recognition, if every time I pray, Israel's better off? This won't work. I'm going to lose all that I've come to get. So here is where the doctrine of Balaam comes in now in Revelation that Christ is condemning in the church. And he said, I'll tell you what, Balaam, I can't get God by prayer to curse Israel, but I can get God to curse Israel. And they said, how? You get the women prostitutes out of your idol worship temples to go down there and entice the Israelite men to commit adultery and bring them back to worship in the idol temple, and I'll guarantee you God will curse them. And he did it. And God ended up cursing Israel. It worked. It worked. Now, people are always telling us, let me go ahead and say this. I want to turn our attention now to a second story, and I'll come back to this one. Matthew 16:16. Jesus asked the question of his disciples, remember, who do you say that I am? And it was Peter who gave the answer. Let me show you this now. I never saw this till just last night, and I was talking to my wife. I've been working on a sermon since last Monday, and I couldn't put it together. I hope I got together this morning. 16:16. Simon said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Christ was listening, and I want to reintroduce my question. Who said that? Jesus asked Peter, who said that? Peter said, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, who said that? You say, well, Billy, Peter said it. Did he? This time, Christ must answer the question, who said that? Now, you will look at the next verse. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Peter, for flesh and blood has not told you that, but my Father which is in heaven. Who said that? Thou art Christ. Father said it. Oh, he may have used the vocal cords of Peter, but I mean, the Father said it. The Father said it. You'll always have people who will tell you you're good or you're bad. Or you are precious or you are worthless. Or you are smart or you're dumb. Or you are ugly or you're beautiful. Or you are a winner or you're a loser. I think you ought to ask the question before you react. Who said that? Who said that? Was it some donkey? Or was it some fallen angel who has the devil's message and uses some donkey's vocal cords? Who said that? Jesus said, the Father said that. I am the Christ. And then Christ proceeds to call Peter the rock. And upon Peter's faith in Christ being the true Christ, the true Messiah, the Son of God, he will build his church on those who have faith, just like Peter. And so Peter now becomes the rock because of this statement. In just a few more minutes, Peter will become a different kind of rock. A stumbling stone. A stumbling stone. Matthew 16:21. From this time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Alright? Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto you. You shall not do this. Okay? Now who said that? Who said, you shall not go into Jerusalem and be crucified and suffer? You shall not go. Who said that? So Peter said, did he? Did he? Jesus said, get thee behind me. Whoa. Get thee behind me, Satan. Who said that? Well, Peter's tongue said it. But Satan said it. Peter has spoken within a matter of minutes two times, and neither time did he say it. In the first place, God said it. Now we find the devil saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." First time it was God the Father who said it. The second time it was the devil. Peter was a donkey. This time it was a fallen angel that was doing the talking. You and I are surrounded today by many voices. And of all those voices, we need to continually ask the question, who said that? Before we accept or reject that advice that we're being told, or we listen to that voice that speaks to us. It just might be you got yourself a Balaam, or you may be a hold of a Balak, or you may have you a donkey, or you may have yourself a fallen angel. I mean, you ought to ask the question, who said that? It could be the view of the world. It could be the cry of some old lustful flesh. I mean, you need to ask the question, who said that? When it all boils down, the question is, did the Father say it, or did the devil say it? Either it's God's viewpoint, which is His Word, or it's the devil's viewpoint, which is his lie. Now, we are flooded by lying voices. They come from within, and they come from without. They come from thoughts that we have, and they come from comments that people make to us. A child says, "You never will mouth anything." Who said that? Who said that? You say, "Well, my daddy said it." Did he really? Did he really? That sounds to me more like a donkey, or more like the devil, than it does to me, the Heavenly Father. Who said that? Do you really believe that? If you do, you're ruined. You're ruined. If you don't believe you'll mouth anything, you won't even try. And that'll guarantee you won't mouth anything. Who said that? Is the question we ought to be asking for a lot of things said to us. People say, "I can't pray." Who said that? Who said you couldn't pray? Well, I can't. Who said it? Did God say it? You say, "No, God didn't." Well, brother, if God didn't say it, then it's possible, right? We can correct a lot of errors in our life and a lot of lies we buy. We just ask the question, who said it? You'll never hear God say you can't pray. But yet you hear Christians say, "I can't pray." Well, who said that? Who told you that? Was it your preacher? Your Sunday school teacher? Your mother? Your daddy? Your friend? Your neighbor? Your enemy? Who told you that? Well, if it wasn't from God, you would not believe it. Only believe what God tells you. Don't believe what anybody else tells you that God says is wrong. And you'll never find God saying you're not worth anything. Yet there are a lot of people say, "I'm not worth anything. I'll never mount anything." Who told you that? If God didn't tell you, reject it as a lie. Elevate yourself a little bit to the place where God says you ought to be. You're not a donkey. People say, "Well, I have this habit and I just can't break it." Who told you that? The Bible says Christ came to set us free from sin, to give us victory and deliverance. Who told you you couldn't break a habit? "Well, I just can't quit drinking. I just can't quit this." Who says that? Who says that? Who told you that? If you believe it, the devil told you, because it's not true. There's no habit a Christian can break. I know a few people who's not Christians can break any habit. But there's no habit a Christian can break. Who told you that? Don't you buy that. It's not true. It's not, and God won't buy it. Some say, "Well, I just can't do anything right." Who told you that? Who told you that? "I can't forgive." Who told you that? Devil? We have bought what a lot of people have said at face value, and it's not true. It was spoken by people who were influenced by the devil, just as Peter was. And Peter loved Jesus, but he was wrong in what he said. If God said it, then accept it and believe it. But if not, then reject it. It's a lie that some donkey in the world has given you. Don't believe it. Or some lying spirit of the devil has told you. Don't believe it. Or some lust-crazed notion of the flesh has fed you. Who told you that? And Jesus said to the devil, "You know what? You promote the interest of man, not God. You promote the interest of man, not God." You listen real carefully to what people say, and you can almost immediately label it of God, the Father, or of the devil, just by what comes out of their mouth. Who will it benefit most, you or God, what they told you? Now, Jesus was being told by Peter to think like human beings are told to think. Jesus, you ought to think about your needs before you think about the Father's will. Have you ever heard that whispered to you? I mean, we are told, "Well, now, my safety and my happiness and my pleasure and my interest, they should all come ahead of God." Who told you that? Who told you that? You won't find that in the Bible. You show it to me. You show me one spot where that's true. And yet a lot of us are living our lives by that philosophy. I'm number one. I'm looking out for number one. Who told you to look out for number one? You show it in the Bible. The Bible says, "Seek ye first number one God." The Bible says, "Deny yourself." Just the opposite of what we have bought. I come first. And that's where Peter said, Jesus, you shouldn't get killed. You ought to find some other way to build your kingdom than going to Jerusalem. Jesus said, I must. I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer. I must die. And I must rise from the grave. I must. Peter could have said, well, Jesus, who told you that? And Jesus would have said, the Father did. The Father did. But Peter says, I got better advice for you. You ought to look out for yourself. You can find some way to build a kingdom besides going to Jerusalem. You figure it out. Take care of your own interests. Take care of your own life. Be sensible. Be professional. Be prosperous. Be comfortable. Be safe. Be popular. Be satisfied. But don't be killed. That's dumb. Now, who said that? Peter said. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I hear you. I hear you. That's the philosophy, people, that the world feeds. And that's what Jesus was saying here. All you're doing, Satan, is promoting human interest in human affairs, human events, human interests, and human likes. You don't care about God. Had Jesus done what Peter said, there would have been no salvation for you and me. Either he would have gone to the cross, or we would not have had a substitute. And no substitute, no salvation. Surely Satan would like to have him not go to the cross. That would guarantee everybody be doomed. All Peter was saying was, Jesus, why don't you look out for yourself for a change? Why don't you be concerned about your own interests for a change? Forget about God's. How many people have bought that lie? Who said that? You don't have to go to church on Sunday, morning or night. Who told you that? Who told you that? Well, tell me, who told you? Point blank, who told you that? Did God tell you that? Show me in the Bible. You show it to me. We have bought a lot of lies. Not only we're incompetent, we can't do anything, always the other side, and we don't do anything. We're always looking for a better way to get out of that sacrifice. Always looking for a free ride. But who told you that? The Bible talks about no free rides. You're going to be flooded by voices all this coming week. All kinds of things said to you. All over you, the dumbest, the whatever. Start asking the question, who said that? Really, who said that? Because I will accept or reject what is said to me on the basis of who said it. If God said it through them, then I must buy it, accept it, and follow it. But if it's a lie, then I must reject it and pay them no attention and just lift what they said dust off my back and off my head and off my mind. Let it go in one right the other. How many of us go around moping and sad and sorrowful and crying and worried because somebody has hurt our feelings? Well, whoever said it, was it true? You said no. Well, then forget it. Just forget it. You just dealt with a donkey. Forget it. Or a lying devil. Forget it. Let it go. Not everything is said by the person whose mouth says it. Peter said it, but Peter didn't say it. Satan said it. And the Father said it. So ask the question this coming week. Did God say that? If he didn't, just reject it and forget it and dismiss it. Because Satan uses comments to get us down in the dumps, get us discouraged, get us to stop doing anything, to get us to think about ourselves and only ourselves. I mean, what or who said it is the question. If God said it, that settles it. If God didn't say it, that settles it too. You'd be amazed how influenced you are by what people say to you. Question is, who's doing the talking? We're listening too much to the donkeys and to the fallen spirits and not enough to God. Father, help us as this day dawns and continues on and a new day dawns and you give us the right to live another day. Father, help us to realize that there are voices spoken in our ears that are not true. Lies are told all the time. May we just stop and ask the question, did God say that? And if not, may I reject it right then and there and keep a perfect, normal, healthy, sane mind. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.